You may have noticed the presidential campaign season is well underway, especially here in Wisconsin now. You can make wisconsinvote.org your source for election news and info. You can find out everything you need to know about who's running for office, read candidate profiles, listen to archived interviews and news stories, and even learn how to truth check campaign ads. Once you've made your decision, wisconsinvote.org can help you find your polling place, register, and view a sample ballot so you're ready to cast your vote. Find it all and a lot more at wisconsinvote.org, your source for the 2016 elections. And of course, here on Central Time, we're tracking what's going on. Both parties now are contending with serious choices in substance and style among their candidates. On the Republican side, you've got Donald Trump's anti-establishment campaign. On the Democratic side, the growing debate between supporters of Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton.
On Tuesday, we looked at the split between Donald Trump and establishment Republicans and the challenge his campaign is presenting to Wisconsin's cheesehead revolution, led by Scott Walker and Paul Ryan.
Now we turn to the Democratic side and how the Clinton-Sanders split is playing out here in Wisconsin. Mike Wagner joins us now. He's an associate professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. Mike, welcome back to the show.
It's my pleasure.
Well, how big are the fault lines in the Democratic Party between the Clinton and Sanders supporters as compared to, you know, the Republican Party, where we're seeing some pretty big fault lines?
There are some big fault lines, especially based on age and race. And so younger voters are overwhelmingly in favor of Bernie Sanders. People over the age of 50 are strongly for Hillary Clinton. There are some gender divides. Men are fairly equal, but young men very strong for Bernie Sanders. Older men over the age of 50 very strong for Hillary Clinton. Sanders does well with people who make between $30,000 and $75,000. Clinton does well with those who make less or more than those kind of ways of thinking about income. So the people who are right in Sanders' wheelhouse for his economic message are the ones who like him the most.
And you mentioned the economic message. How much of this is style? How much of this is substance, substantial differences on policy?
It's a little bit from column A, a little bit from column B. So on the style side, younger voters especially like the fact that Bernie is calling for more of a revolution to the system, really changing the way that business is done in Washington, which echoes, you know, then candidate Barack Obama's message back in 2008. And even though maybe the way business is done hasn't changed or maybe even gotten worse since the Obama presidency, that message still resonates, especially with younger voters. But people do like the substance he's offering on economic issues. Young people especially like the free college plan that Sanders is putting forth, things like that. Whereas the Clinton supporters really point to her track record of not just getting things done, but also stopping the other side from doing things they would like to do, which was something she was really good at in the Senate and something that a lot of her supporters like as well.
Well, you're hitting on a couple big themes there. I want to get into centrism versus sort of left populism
right.
in the Democratic Party. This is not a new story here.
It is not a new story, but it's one that's growing larger with each election. More and more Democrats are identifying as liberal than used to. And so the party is becoming a little bit more extreme, or at least there are more people who are willing to say they're liberal than there used to be. And that's causing some problems for Secretary Clinton in the primary and also helping Bernie Sanders in that same race because more of the liberals are on Sanders' side.
A story we've seen maybe more on the Republican side is this idea that establishment, a lot of experience in government, is a negative in many cases. How is that playing out on the Democratic side?
Well, it's more of a rhetoric battle because Sanders has actually been in government longer than Clinton has, but her perception is that she's been in longer because of her time as Arkansas First Lady, her time as White House First Lady, her time as Senator from New York, her time as Secretary of State. So she's done more things. Sanders has really been, you know, the House of Representatives, the U.S. Senate, more of a creature of Washington, but still has a reputation for being an outsider in Washington and you know, and identified as an independent socialist Democrat or Democratic socialist, really only became a Democrat per se to run for president and has always been on the outside looking in, even though he's also been in Washington for several decades.
And Clinton, a much more familiar figure on the national stage.
Absolutely.
Even though Sanders has been in politics, as you say, a long time, she's been on front pages for longer than he
right.
has.
Right. Everybody knows who Hillary Clinton is, and until he started running for president, only people who really lived and died with politics knew who Sanders was, or the occasional person who might say, oh, is that the guy from Vermont who's the socialist? And, you know, not really understanding his views or what they were like or how he would, you know, still vote with the Democrats, you know, almost all the time, but also push them to be more left-leaning with their policy proposals.
Talking to UW-Madison's Mike Wagner about politics, specifically Democratic politics, the splits between the Sanders and Clinton camps. Well, how does this all play out, particularly here in Wisconsin? What's the appeal of both candidates on a Wisconsin stage?
The real fight is between voter turnout in Madison and Milwaukee. Madison is a stronger support center for Sanders because of the university, but also because he's doing very well with college and above educated folks in the Madison area. And so there are a lot of those folks in the Madison area, and more of them seem to like Senator Sanders than Secretary Clinton. And so the fact that this race is still close bodes well for him, and he's doing a little bit better statewide, whereas Secretary Clinton does very well in Milwaukee, especially with Black and Hispanic voters, where she has very strong advantages over Sanders, and might be helped by the hot mayor's race in Milwaukee, which is also on the ballot. And so she's really hoping for turnout there related to the Tom Barrett race, but also related to her own. And then, of course, broadly in Wisconsin, the Kloppenburg-Bradley Supreme Court race on the Democratic side are really hoping for strong turnout from this close race, whereas Republicans, of course, would prefer to see Bradley retain her seat.
Now, Hillary Clinton, speaking in Milwaukee, focused a lot on the gun control issue and gun violence. And
right.
This is one issue where it seems like she's been trying to present herself as being to the left of Bernie Sanders, saying he is more aligned with Republicans and gun rights supporters. How do you think that's going to be an effective message for her?
Well, it's an area where she can show that she has a voting record that's a little bit to the left of Sanders's. And so on economic issues, Sanders is clearly to the left and more progressive than Clinton. But on gun issues, she has been more liberal, more supportive of issues in the Black community related to people's attitudes about firearms. And so you can kind of see the places where their support lie are also correlated with their kind of slightly competing positions on guns.
On those economic issues, do you see Sanders pulling Clinton to the left?
Oh, for sure. I think it, you know, she might not. Well, never. We can't read what's in her mind, of course. But, you know, she may not have been as critical of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which she used to really support, if Sanders had not been running and doing so well. She probably wouldn't have been talking about some of the big Wall Street issues and issues of broad economic inequality had Sanders not been doing as well as he is doing. I think he certainly pulled her to the left. And even if Sanders isn't able to win, Clinton will have a hard time walking those positions back because she's taken them so strongly during the campaign.
There's a lot of focus on those trade issues. You mentioned the Trans-Pacific Partnership in places like Ohio and Michigan.
Right.
Democratic and Republican side, elements of both parties feeling like they're not represented in the mainstream of those parties. Is this a voting issue here in Wisconsin, do you think?
I don't know that that's a voting issue in Wisconsin, unless you think about it in this sense. A lot of people and a lot of Sanders supporters and a lot of Trump supporters feel left behind by the economic recovery. A lot of these are white working class voters. And even though they don't, the people who like Trump and the people who like Sanders don't agree with each other, they both feel left behind by the economic recovery. And both Sanders and Trump have messages for those folks. Trump's message is, you can't trust the elites, you can't trust the media, you can't trust the system, you can only trust me. Sanders' message is, we need to change how we do things because the way we're doing things is rigged to harm you in particular.
Some Sanders supporters have been saying lately, at least prominently online, Bernie or bust. They would not vote for Hillary Clinton if she's the nominee in the general election. Do you think that's likely to play out to be a significant difference?
I don't think that that's likely to be a significant difference because of Ralph Nader in 2000. And so a lot of the people saying those things, Susan Sarandon, the actress, comes to mind in recent days, who's gotten a lot of attention for saying that, were people who were also Nader supporters. And a lot of Democrats who are more progressive than maybe the general election candidate tends to be saw George W. Bush and not Al Gore get elected in 2000. And, you know, say what you will about Al Gore, he was not likely to have invaded Iraq in 2003. And so who wins these races matters. And the support a spoiler or sit a race out because you don't like how centrist your party's candidate is usually a recipe for disaster for your broader interests with respect to what you think about and what your party wants to do.
Now, you mentioned Tuesday, the big issue for both candidates is going to be how big the turnout is and where that turnout is. Let's situate Wisconsin now in the wider campaign. How important are we in Wisconsin for Sanders versus Clinton?
Way more important than we thought we were going to be,
yeah.
I think, at this time. On the Democratic side, Wisconsin is important, but not as important as it is on the Republican side. On the Democratic side, both Sanders and Clinton are going to do well. They're going to probably both get somewhere between 40% and 50% of the vote, and they'll split those votes proportionally, which will allow Clinton to maintain the the slight lead she has in votes from the people and her larger lead in terms of the superdelegate votes, at least so far. Now, on the Republican side, it's not quite winner-take-all. You get a lot of delegates for winning the state, but you also get three for winning each congressional district. And there's not a lot happening on the Republican side for a few weeks. And so if the Stop Trump movement can be successful and have Ted Cruz win in Wisconsin, that's 2 weeks of stories about Donald Trump might not be inevitable anymore, which is what they would really need to get the party to coalesce around an alternative.
Lot to watch on Tuesday. Mike, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
That was Mike Wagner. He's an associate professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. We were looking at the presidential race and how it's playing out here in Wisconsin on the Democratic side of things.
Coming up, this final week of March has been dedicated to highlighting Black women in history. Our next guest tells us about a series she helped launch highlighting the trials and triumphs faced by women of color in America. And starting Monday, you'll hear new voices and new perspectives during our evening lineup on the Ideas Network with shows like The Political Junkie, which is going to air Fridays at 7 o'clock. Also, check out the Dinner Party Download Fridays at 10 o'clock. Some fun talking points to get you through any dinner parties you're having that weekend. And some of your old favorites are going to be moving to new times, like The Moth on Thursdays at 7, and Q is going to be airing at 9 o'clock. You can see the entire schedule and learn about our new programs online at WPR.org. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farad. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.